As many times I've shared my experiences, especially in survival, one of them, but also farming, you know, every time I seem to reflect on the scripture, God shows me a story of my past. And I think God has made me wiser over the years. I'm not speaking bad against myself. I just don't think He made me any smarter. Okay, there's a big difference between being wise, and I think God has made me wise, but He just hasn't made me any smarter. So He shows me pictures often of how to understand the Scripture. It's just the way. I don't think I need to be smarter. I just think I need to see these pictures that God shows me. And I really appreciate when I go through the Scripture and I can see automatically my mind says, well, that's kind of like this. And as I start talking about it with the Lord and I can see how this picture and what this experience that I had, I can see that the psalmist in this case has had the same type of experience. But I see it through this very logical story that God has showed me. And I know in farming, there's lots of stories that God shows us, and it really runs parallel to the Word of God. And in one of the things I love to do on the farm is, I said this before, I wasn't really a field worker guy. I just didn't really like that. I just didn't really like to be out in the field. I'd much rather work with the animals. And that was my desire was to work with the animals, and part of that was building fence, and I really liked to build fence. And it's kind of a sickness maybe, but I really like to build fence. You got to see what you were doing, and building fence wasn't easy alone. You kind of needed someone to go along with you because there's lots of teamwork that needs to happen on building fence. And I learned one day that if you're going to build fence where other much older farmers are going to look at it, it needs to be straight. Okay, just so you know, because the township was coming in and scraping off some of the embankment that goes into one of our pastures, and it needed new fence, and so I took down the fence and they cleaned it all off, and then I built new fence. Well, one of the other local farmers, drove by that every day, and I got message after message, just him stopping by, and he said, "I just want you to know your fence ain't straight." You know, that's become a running joke in our house. You know, certain so-and-so is not going to be looking. You can just go ahead and let that alone because so-and-so is not going to be looking. But that day, so-and-so was looking. And I know that I needed to build fence. Well, fence is not an easy job. And it's not really a cheap job either. To build a decent fence, it takes time, it takes a lot of effort, but also it takes a post and staples for the most part and wire, right? It takes those three components to put together a fence. And you have to have every acre that you put inside of a pasture, it's about 835 feet of fence. So you got 835 feet of fence, you can push the button, 835 feet of fence to put in pasture every acre. So that would take somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 posts, and I know posts are more expensive today than they used to be, but for those 40 posts, you can figure about a couple hundred bucks for 40 posts, and then it takes 3,400 feet of wire because we had Angus cattle, so it took 4 strands, no 2 strand, no 3 strand. Angus will laugh at that. Minimum 4 strands, because we had Angus that run inside of some of our Holsteins. So you had to have 4 strands, so you need 3,400 feet of barbed wire, and you need a couple hundred fence staples. You can see the price there. It's fairly inexpensive, $445 per acre, but you fence a lot of acres. I calculated up the acres that we had inside a fence in our farm. It was about 100 acres. So you had like $45,000 in fence. To build a fence around the acreage that was supposed to be holding the animals. The smallest part of the fence was some of the key components. And a few months ago or years ago, I preached a message on the fence that crosses the creek. And how much that took, how much extra time that took to be able to get a fence that would stay in place across the creek, or the creek if you're in Tioga County. Today there's another small component of the fence that is key. Because if you don't have this small component in the fence, it's not really useful. The pasture is not useful. You have to have a gate. You have to have a gate inside the fencing somewhere so you can open the gate, so you can let something in or out of that pasture. And a fence building and the gate building can be challenging in and of itself. And many of our gates look like this one on the screen. It looked like simply like this. And if you push the next post, I got it all labeled. I gave you Bull in the Pasture 101. Here's Gate Building 101, okay? You got to have a gate post. Okay, that's number one, is the gate post. You got to have a gate post. And then you can see at the bottom, you can just see the little loop. That's where the gate post sits in the bottom. And you got to put the bottom of the gate in first. Now, we didn't, listen, maybe you could go to Tractor Supply and buy metal gates. We couldn't. Okay, it wasn't in the budget for metal gates. You have a guy drive by with all gates on his truck and he tried to sell you metal gates. Well, they were really nice gates and I would love to have metal gates, but I couldn't afford metal gates, so I had to build gates like this. Because the pasture without a gate is not really useful. You got to be able to let things out of the pasture. And so you put the loop on the bottom and you put the loop on the top and then you put the gate post in the bottom first and then you kind of hug around the bigger post and grab the gate post and pull it close and let it down over. Some of you are shaking your head. Yes, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But there are other components of the gate that is important. You can see number four is just a horizontal post. Now, you don't know where that goes, but a guy who built a gate knows where that goes. It goes to the other post. But you just can't push the other post over by this post because this post is not connected to any other wire. So this post can just kind of teeter back and forth. So you got to support this post. So you got this horizontal bar between the gate, the solid gate post, and the next post down the line. But you can't just put those two posts together because the whole thing would just tip over like this. So you can see number five is the diagonal wire. It hooks to the top of the post, the post, and to the bottom of this post to hold everything together. You need a good gate. And sometimes it was just easy to, you could open up the gate and throw it to the side and just whatever came out. But there was times when you were trying to get a particular animal out of the fence. And so you had to have a gateman or a gate lady. And you had to say, don't let anybody out but this animal. And so you would endeavor to try to get this animal rounded up and toward the gate. Some of you are laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm telling you what, that's not an easy job. And all of a sudden, it's just not only building a gate, but being a gate builder is different than a gateman. Because a gateman needs to run the gate. Needs to run the gate and don't let the other cows out, because we don't want the other cows out. We only want this cow out. So when this cow comes by, open up the gate and kind of stand at this angle like this to encourage that animal to go on out the gate. And then shut the gate before the other things in the pasture go out the gate. It can be very tenseful. It can really weaken a marriage if you let it. I'm telling you. You get to see how much spit and vinegar your wife is made of. I'm telling you, being the gateman is a challenge. You know, anybody can open a gate and throw it to the side and let everything out that's there. It's the person who has to run the gate and only let certain things out. Is the challenge. And the psalmist, as I was reading through the Psalms this week, we're Psalm 141, and I think the psalmist is saying here, I need a gateman. I need someone to run my gate. Because it's not an easy job. The psalmist is admitting it's not an easy job to run the gate. It's not an easy job to run the gate, and I'm not known as I'm qualified to run the gate, but I got to have someone to run the gate. And as I was pouring through this psalm, I got to verse 3, and I couldn't go anymore. And so the whole nucleus of this message is on verse 3. Because the psalmist needs a gateman. The psalmist needs someone to control what comes out of his pasture. Because there's all kinds of things inside of him. But he says, God, I need you. I need you to run the gate here. And he says this, set a guard over my mouth. The gate. Because there's a whole lot of stuff in the pasture. And if all the stuff gets out of the pasture, I'm going to be in trouble, and so will other people. I got to have someone run the gate. Lord, oh Lord, look, he says, oh Lord, keep watch over the door or the gate of my lips. God, I need someone to be my gateman. to attend the gate, to control what goes through my gate, what comes out of my gate. God, I need you. Oh, I need you to keep track of my gate. I need you to open up the gate when the right stuff come by my gate. But there's stuff that in me that can't come out of me. Things that I say that I should not say. Maybe I'm the only one that needs this message, but I've said things I should not have said before. My gate got open. And the psalmist, I think, is feeling the same thing. He said, my gate got open when it shouldn't have got open. I should have been able to wrestle with that animal in my head and in my brain and in my soul a little more before I just opened up the gate and set it free. Because it's ended up hurting people around me. My mouth is the gate. God, please be my gate, man. Keep a watch. Man, my gate, close or open at your discretion, Lord. That's what he's saying. Close or open my mouth. Close or open my mouth at your discretion, God. I'm getting my hands off the gate, God. I'm taking my hands off the gate. You, at your discretion, you allow me to speak what you want me to speak when you want me to speak it. And just so you know, there's other things that can man your gate. Look what it says in Ephesians 4:29. Don't let any unwholesome or poor quality talk come out of your mouth. You know what that means? You got the wrong guy running the gate. That's what that means. And just so you know, I, and so do you, got the wrong people running your gate sometimes. And you're saying things that aren't good, and you're saying things that can hurt other people. Oh, you might be doing it in a text. You might not be verbalizing it. Or you might be doing it on a post or in a text. But things are coming out of us that say, God, oh God, I need you. I need you to run the gate. Because unwholesome or poor quality talk can come out of me as well. Something else has control of your gate. Look at it going on in that Ephesians passage. Look at it says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. The power of the spoken word, the power of what comes out of your gate. And I believe you, me, I've got some stuff in me that God's still working on. And if that gets control of my mouth, it says stuff it shouldn't say. And so God, until I work this out inside of me, can you just run the gate as you see fit? Because I got some hurts and I got some pains and I'm mad at times. I'm flat out mad at times. And God, I don't know, I can't let my anger, or I can't let my hurt, or I can't let my wounds, or I can't let the lies that I believed, I can't let those things run my gate, because when they start running my gate, all kinds of stuff come out the pasture. And I know you're working on me, God, I know you're working on me. I know you're doing stuff inside of me, and I thank you, God, every day for the things you're doing inside of me, and you're cleaning me, and you're honing me, and you're sharpening me. Until all that work is done, will you still run the gate? So no unwholesome or poor quality talk comes out of me. Back to Psalm 141 says this, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. God, again, please be my gateman. God opens the door. Listen, I think God opens the gate way more than what we think he does. My grandmother used to tell me, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. I just want to say, if you can't say anything nice, spend some time with God, because God's a speaking God.
Amen.
Over 365 times in the Bible, we get this phrase, the God said, the Lord said, or the Lord said. 365 times, I think it's the next slide, 365 times over and over and over that we hear in the Scripture, and God said, the Lord said. God is a saying God. God is a speaking God. And if God is a speaking God, then his people are speaking people. And the psalmist is saying, I know that you're a speaking God. I know that you, over and over and over, the word of the Lord come from God. God spoke. God spoke creation into existence. God said, the Lord said over and over and over in Scripture, He said, I want you to be saying people, but you better watch your gate. Because some things that are coming out of you don't seem to be in line with yours and my relationship. Don't beat yourself up over that. Just let God run the gate. He'll work in that other stuff. That's another message. We'll take that whole thing. Okay, work on the stuff that's in the pasture. Let me move this over here. We'll work on that a couple weeks from now. Poop. Okay? I get it. I'm scared up inside. I got it. But as long as I give God the gate, I can work on that and still be a speaking person. Does that make sense? So if you can't say anything nice, I think you can. Because God is a speaking God. And even though there's a whole bunch of stuff over here, God will still speak through you. Let Him run our gates. I think that there are things that God opens the gate for sure in our life. And I get just a handful, which I'm sure that God has opened the gate. God has opened the gate in my life. God has opened the gate for us to speak out. I think these are things, maybe we think these are fairly generic things that we know that Christians should be speaking out, and our gate gets open. We talked about a little bit that last week when I'm not okay with the bulls running the show in this world. And there's times when God encourages me and even opens the gate for me to speak out. Not in meanness, not in hatred, but in love and power and sound mind that He's given us. And I think there are things. Look what He says in Romans 10, 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the Word of God. Guess what? If there is hearing, there is what? They're speaking. Now, you're saying, well, I can read people's nonverbals. Okay, I can read their verbals a little better. God said, faith comes from hearing, and that means someone's going to be saying something. And I'll open the gate for you. I think He opens the gate for us to be sharing the gospel. I think He said, I'm going to open the gate. And I think He opens the gate way more than what we think He does. Because we have this powerful message for this world. And I don't think we allow God to open the gate up. Maybe we're too busy running our own gate. And we're over here being angry, and we're over here being whatever. And God says, will you just let me run the gate? Remember this big wad of mud? We're dealing with that. But until we get all that done, can you just let me run the gate? Because there's times when I want you to be gospel sharers. Yeah, but I don't have my life all together yet, so I can't really share with anybody else. For crying out loud, will you lose that attitude? If you're going to wait till you have your life all together before you share the gospel, you're never going to share the gospel. It's like, I'm going to get all ready before I have children. Good luck with that. You're never going to be able to get it all right. But God says, I'm going to open up the gate, and you're going to be able to share the gospel, because faith comes from hearing. And if it's coming from hearing, then there's someone speaking. I want to open up your gate. I want you to know the gospel. So let me open the gate this morning. John 3:16 says this, says what? For God so loved the world. He opens this gate for us to share the gospel. God so loved the world that He gave.
He sent his son into this world that you might have this relationship, this eternal life. This eternal life. God's opening my gate right now. I'm telling you, God's opening my gate. And faith comes by hearing. If you're hearing it right now, well, let God take these words that he's opened my gate this morning and let them filter into your heart and filter into your life. This is not just so I can take up the next 28 minutes of your time and say, so you can say, well, I went to church today. This is God opening up the gate to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and how much God loves you. So much so that he sent his son to the cross. And Jesus said, just so you know, I went to the cross on my own accord because I love you so much and I want to give you eternal life. And John 17:3 says this, now this is eternal life. You can push the button. Now this is eternal life, that you will know, intimately know the one true God and the one who he has sent, Jesus Christ. What does God want to give you? Because he loves you. He had a relationship, this intimate relationship with him. That's what he wants to give you. Do you know, I'm just going to make it a confession right now. You know what? All last week, I never shared the gospel once. Just so you know, I don't know whether it's because I'm a pastor or just whatever. That stings my soul when I realize how many times God wanted to open my gate just to tell someone, tell him I love him. Yeah, but I'm mad right now, God. I know, man, this mud, that's nasty. You need to get over here. Just let me open up the gate. Yeah, but God, you don't know. I haven't got my life all. And I know that. I know that, God says. We got that over there. But I just want you to tell the person at the register that I love him. Will you just tell him? I'm going to open your gate right now. Just tell him. Just let it out. They need to know I love them right now. You don't have any idea what's going on in their life right now, but they need to hear it right now. Just let me open up your gate. Tell them I love them. God loves you. And he wants this relationship with you. And he wants this relationship with me, and he wants this relationship with people that don't have this relationship with him. And he's going to give you this relationship he wants to give you. But there is a situation that has to be dealt with, and Jesus has already dealt with that. It says that's in Romans 3, 22 and through 24. Push the button, please. It says this. It says this, righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely or declared not guilty freely of the sin that separates us from God by his grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. Sin is the separator here, and Jesus said, don't worry, I got that paid for. Will you just believe that I got it paid for? God to ever pay for it. We just got a real understanding of the magnitude of our God. And he said, I know you got a sin issue, but I want to pay for that. I've already paid for that. Will you let me stamp your ticket so you can have this relationship with me because I love you? Goes on in Romans and says this, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him, Jesus, will never be put to shame. You know what that means? You'll never find out you got duped because you didn't get duped. You'll never be put to shame. Anyone who puts their trust in Jesus will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. It's the same Lord, is Lord of all
and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Ooh. So as my gate gets opened by God this morning, I believe with all of my heart, will you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Is that you this morning? Does faith come by hearing? And maybe this is the first time you've heard, and maybe it's the 500th time you heard. You know how many times I heard the gospel before the gospel got a hold of me? Thousands. No doubt. But I'm asking right now, will the gospel get a hold of you today? Will you let it get a hold of you? God wants you to know, I love you. I want you to have this relationship with me. You got a sin issue. Don't sweat it. We paid for it. Let me stamp your ticket. Let me bring you into my kingdom. Let me to wrap my arms around you. Let me justify you or make you just as if you had never sinned. And let's start this relationship. You, man, I'm pretty screwed up, God. Yeah, I know. You should know the stuff I know about you. You think you, what you remember, you're screwed up? Ooh, it's a good thing you don't have a very long-term memory. But man, I love you. And I'll set you free from all that stuff. God will open up our lips to share the gospel. If that's you this morning, you just want to believe in Him, just tell Him. Not, you don't even have to do it out loud. Just tell Him right in your soul, I want to believe in you, Jesus. I want to believe in you. Because when God opens the gate, the right animal comes out. You know what other things I think God will allow me to say and the gate will get open for? I think God opens the gate for this. The Bible says so, push the button. The Bible says so, dot, 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 so here I go. Times we hear, I know the Bible says, but I've said often and often and often, if you're following the Bible says so with a but, you're in trouble. And I think that God will give us the wherewithal just to speak that out. And sometimes I think we need to speak that out. And sometimes, whoa, whoa! Let all heaven and all earth and all of the creation know the Bible says so, so I will walk this out. Because James tells us this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. So I think God opens up your door just to, through your gate, just to proclaim that sometimes. Because this is Jesus speaking. I will show you what He is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man who builds a house, who dug down deep and laid a foundation on rock. And when the floods came and the torrent struck, the house could not be shaken because it was well built. That's the guy, that's the woman, that's the mom, that's the dad, that's the teenager who hears the Bible, who hears my word and say, and so in Jesus' name, here I go. We need to proclaim it. And just so you know, in Jesus' name, you don't go with a mean, spiteful, revengeful attitude. So in the name of Jesus, here I go.
Amen.
Be real careful. The Bible is not a club that you can beat people with. The Bible is a love story from an almighty God. And He'll give you a chance to share its truth, and He'll give you a chance to apply its truth to your life. But I think sometimes I just need to say it out loud. Let it be known, enemy. The Bible says so, so here I go. You know what else I think that God will open up the gates for? This is simply, I love you. My wife tells me this way more often than I reciprocate it back to her, and I need to get better at that.
I'm telling you right now, my wife tells me she loves me no less than a half a dozen times or more a day. And she's always a quicker thinker than I am. And so always I think, man, if I say it now, she's going to think I said it because she just said it. Maybe I'm the only one in the room that thinks that, but. You know what the truth is? She's right. Because my pea-green brain had a single-minded waffle moment. I don't know what else is going on. I can't get over. I'm not spaghetti. Cheryl's spaghetti, and I'm a waffle. I got squares. I can go one square to another, but I can't just think about everything at once. But it gives us the ability to say, I love you. Teach others. First time I text a guy here in New Life, and I love him at the bottom. I erased it, and then I put it back, and then I erased it, and then I put it back. I said, oh, he's just going to think I'm a sicko or something, but I'm telling him I love him. And I usually have to put bro or man or something at the end, you know, to testosterone it up a little bit. He does. He does, see? That's our love you, bro, see? He's one of those guys I got, you know. Look what you're saying. Just push the button. Look what you're saying. I'm patient and I'm kind. Look what he says. I'm not envying. I'm not boasting. I'm not proud. And I don't want to be rude. And I'm not self-seeking. And I'm not easily angered. And oh, I'm going to keep no record of wrong. And love does not delight in evil. You know, often we'll tell our kids, they've done something wrong, and I love you, but you don't have to say I love you, but because love does not delight in evil, you can correct your children in love. You don't have to switch it into some other gear. Love is powerful. Look at the last phrase. Love never fails. And God said, I give you the ability, and I'm going to open up your gate. Just say, I love you. Let me just throw a few more. I think God opens up the gate here to confess a sin to another. I think there's times when we're running with another person, and another, maybe a brother or sister in Christ, and we just need to say, you know what, this has really got me by the short hairs. In our house, it's the short hairs. The short hairs are right here, and they're direction-giving hairs. It's pretty amazing. If you get a hold of somebody's short hairs, it's like a bull in a ring in a bull's nose. You know, it's like a short hairs. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. And there's things in my life and in your life that have us by the short hairs, and we need to confess it. And he says this. Look what he says in James. Look what he says. He says, therefore, confess your sins to one another so that you can pray for one another. And sometimes I think he says, and you can pull a guy aside, and I've heard guys do that, and I've seen guys do that with other guys in this body. I've seen them do it. I've seen them come and say, I confess this. This has got me by the short hairs, and I need someone else to come along beside me, and I need someone else to pray me through this addiction or this situation in my life, because I'm tired of having it direct me by the short hairs of my life. And I need you, God. And I need you, brother, and my gate is open, and God's saying, confess it right now. Confess it to the brother that you trust, because he's willing to go with you. And I think he does. And the enemy says, whoo, whoo, shh, he's going to think you're weird. Shh. Keep it to yourself. Don't do that. He's not going to like you anymore. Whatever. And God said, open up the gate, just let them know so they could come along beside you and they can walk it out with you. Because one thing I know about building fence is two guys can build way more than double of the amount of fence that one guy can build in a day. Likewise, two believers walking together can accomplish way more than one walking it out alone. I think God opens up the gate for us to say this. And I think he said this in my life, I can't go there anymore. I can't go there. I can't go there. And Corinthians says this, there's no temptation that has seized you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out for you from under it. He'll get you out of it. And sometimes get you out of it saying, I'm not going there. I am not going to do that anymore. I am not walking down that street anymore. I am not going into that bar. I am not going into that situation. I'm not going. And I think sometimes God opens our door to say, just say right now, even in the spiritual world, I'm not going. And I think the enemy will invite us into deep darkness. And we just need to stand up and stand up in our houses and say, no, we're not going. I think God opens up your gate for that. Let me finish with this one today. And I could go on. 31,104 verses in the Bible. And God's a speaking God. I found it interesting that God spoke, or the Lord said, 365 times in the Bible. I thought that was interesting. And just so you know, that wasn't a Google search. I counted them. Because some things I just don't trust Google. Do you know there are some wackos on the other end of Google? You realize, and this is a whole new message maybe, and I won't start preaching it. People read the Bible and question it and get Google, and they're like, oh, that's solid foundation, Google said. That's messed up. 365 times God said over and over and over. Let me finish with this one. God opens the gate for us to ask for his kingdom to be released in our lives. One of the first things that Jesus taught his disciples, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God says, I'm going to open up your gate sometimes, and you're going to ask for the kingdom to come, and it's going to come. And sometimes I want to release the kingdom into your life, and someone else is running the gate, and you'll never ask for it. And you'll never say, I'm not going there. And maybe you'll never speak the gospel. And maybe you'll never have the wherewithal to say, the Bible says, so here in Jesus' name, here I go. But I'm a firm believer, and I've even more so as it goes on, even this past week, that God opens up my gate way more than what I know he does. Will you stop worrying about this pile of mud and just ask God to be your gateman and speak what he wants us to speak? Stand with me today. Father, thank you for these moments together. And in Jesus' name, here we go. Father, I pray that you wanted my gate to be open to share the gospel. I know that with no doubt. And maybe there was someone here today that just said, that was me. And Jesus, come take a hold of me. And Father, maybe there's other of us, maybe there's all of us in here that need to hear just what comes through the gate, just to say, you know what, just say I love you. Just let the Bible speak and walk it out. Just proclaim, I'm going to do it because the Bible says. Maybe we just need to say, I'm not going down that road anymore. That's dark. Whether it's in my mind or whether it's in my life, that's dark. And I'm just, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going down that road anymore. And maybe it's just to step back and say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, thank you so much for these moments together. And Father, we've come this morning and we've released our worship at the invitation of you through the worship team, and I thank you so much for that. Father, I believe with all of my heart, especially today, I hope it's never not this way, but I know for sure you opened up my gate this morning. So we released all the things out of the pasture that you wanted me to speak. I believe I'm done. There's a period at the end. And so, Father, now we're going to be released into this, back into the world, so to speak, back into our homes and back into our families, perhaps back into Walmart, back into Sipes, wherever we're going to go. We're going back into the world. So release us, and may we go out of this moment. May we go out with our saying, God, please be my gateman, so that I'm not speaking anything that you don't want me to speak. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have an amazing day.